Welcome to Anchored in the Word.
Now we have the Word of Truth, the Bible, the things that are written. John now is going to talk about, I have not written. You see, John's letter that he wrote was not just written by him. He did write it. This is the miracle about the Bible, by the way. It was penned by the Apostle John, this part, but it inspired of God. This book right here is different than any other book. Any other book. It's the book of all books. It's a book above every book. There's never been one like it, and there never will be one like it. It's amazing. It's an amazing book.
But I'm anchored deep in your great love. I'm anchored deep in who you are. I'm anchored deep in holy word. I'm anchored deep in you, my Lord.
This is Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Coastlands, in Eatontown, New Jersey, with our pastor and teacher, Bill Beckelman.
The Word of Truth is what guards us from the lies around us. Just like Pastor Bill said, the Bible is a miracle. People are always wanting to attack and undermine it, but there's nothing like it in all of history. 66 books, over 40 authors, all telling one cohesive story. Is your faith in the Word of God today? Do you believe what it says and seek to live it out? At the close of Pastor Bill's message, I'll be sharing with you how you can get a copy of today's broadcast of Anchored in the Word. Subscribe to the podcast or simply get in touch with us. But for now, please open your Bibles to the book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, as we join Pastor Bill.
You know, some people have said, if it's too good to be true, it is too good to be true, right? I think about that and I thought, yeah, that's pretty much true all the time, except for when you think about Jesus. He may seem too good to be true, but he is true. So that doesn't work with him. All right, that saying doesn't work with him. But you think of the things, how people get swindled, you know, because something is too good to be true. You think of Bernie Madoff and what he did with all that money. He's in prison now for the rest of his life, apparently. But so many people, all the billions of dollars that he got to invest in his pyramid scheme. And how he got the people in? Man, big returns on your money. I can give you a lot more than any bank or any investor could give. And look at him. He was living high on the hog in the figure. This guy knows the secrets. He's got secrets. And it probably seemed too good to be true because it was too good to be true. It's a pyramid scheme. And you know, eventually the bottom fell out of that thing. But a lot of people got swindled because they believed in something that wasn't true. Now, they lost all their money. A lot of people lost all their money. And that's terrible. But we're talking about something more serious than just losing something that affects you here while you're on earth. We're talking about something that lasts for eternity. So it's even more important to believe the truth and believe Jesus Christ. Now, so the problem is that there are deceivers, and there are many of them, not just a few. It says there in verse 18 that there are many deceivers or liars in the world. But now we get to verse 19. And it gives us an indication of these liars. It says, look what it says about them. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest, that none of them were of us. Now, verse 19 is talking about the idea that these particular deceivers that were living in these days were part of the church. They were coming to church. They were part of the fellowship. They started out, at least, being part of Christianity, mainstream Christianity, Orthodox Christianity, but somewhere along the line, they didn't want to go along with what Christians do, apparently, and they had to make their own way out there. So he went out from them. They started out looking like Christians, but it says, but they went out of us because they weren't one of us. They really weren't Christians. And this is the truth about the truth, I'll tell you right now. And you come to this church, and we're not the only church that preaches truth, but you come here, either you're going to become a Christian eventually. I'm going to warn you if you're here and you're not a Christian right now. You keep coming. I'm serious. You cannot continue to come here and either not become a Christian or stop coming. It's that simple. Because when the truth goes forth, it does its work. And you can't resist the truth. You can't resist Christ, but you can turn from him and you won't be able to come back. You'll hate what you're hearing because you're going to get truth. That's just reality. Now, the hope is if you're not of the truth, that you would become of the truth. But it says they had to leave after a while, that they would be made manifest. Now, I want to say this to you. Verse 19 is not talking about the idea of people that go from one church to another. Church hoppers or whatever, you know, people that go on to another church. It's not saying that that verse is for them. This is talking about people that leave the faith, that leave the fellowship of the church. That's verse 19. But that's the problem. But they go out, and that's a good thing in a sense, because now they're manifest. But I want to tell you something. God has made for us, the church, for Christians, a protection. He knew it was going to be tough in the days that we're living. He knew all the deceptions. He knows everything. He knew that everything that was going to come our way. And you know, Solomon said, there's nothing new under the sun. They tweaked the lie a little bit, but you know, the reality is there's nothing really new. There's the truth and then everything else. And things keep recycling. The lies keep kind of recycling. But God, through it all, has given us protection. And this is what I want to talk about. We got the problem. But I want to talk to you now about the protection that God has given to us. And this is important for us. Because we're living in the world, the same world that everybody else is living in. Aren't we? And we're exposed to all the same things that everybody else in the world is exposed to. And with the modern media and social media we have nowadays, even quicker than ever before, the whole world is connected in that way. But God has given us some protections against deception. And these are important for the believer. You probably already know these, but it needs to be reinforced in you today. And the first protection that we find is in verse 20. Protection number one, verse 20. But you, and he's speaking to the church now, born-again believers, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Now, let me tell you first what he's not saying is that you're not omniscient. That means only God knows all things, okay? But he's going to say something pretty miraculous here, pretty spectacular here. He's going to say that you have an anointing. Now, this word is even misused in the church, all right? And it's misused this way. Oh, that person, he's got the anointing. He's got the anointing over there. Like he's some special Christian or something. Listen, according to what the Bible teaches, we all have this anointing. And the question is, what is it? What is the anointing? That's right, brother. You said it. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit of God. The first thing that he's given us to protect us from the lie is the Spirit of truth. That's what the Holy Spirit's called. He's the Spirit of truth. He says here, you have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. I want to read John 16:13 to you. I want to read John 16:13 regarding this idea. However, when he, by the way, the Holy Spirit isn't an it, he's a he. When he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. That's how you know the truth, because the Holy Spirit will guide you into all truth. In other words, he's going to give you discernment when a lie comes up. And as you study the truth of the word, you'll recognize the lie right away. You don't have to study every lie out there. You just need to study the truth, and you'll see the lie. He says, when he comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you all things to come. Wow. We can have some insight into the future? Yeah. Yeah, you ever want to know the future? Through the Holy Spirit and his word, you know, this is the thing. These are connected. That's point number two here. But the idea, this protection that we have against the lie is the Spirit of truth. Only Christians have the Spirit of truth dwelling in them. This is something very unique to the New Testament. In the Old Testament, the anointing, right? It came on some people, prophets, prophetesses, and the Spirit would come upon them, and they would prophesy, thus saith the Lord, and then he would leave them at times. But they had the anointing. They used to do it. They would anoint with oil in the Old Testament as a point to show he's got the anointing, this guy. But in the New Testament, different. Different dispensation. If you're a Christian, when you come to Christ, the Spirit of God comes and dwells in you. We talked about, hey, I will never ever leave you or forsake you. What a privilege. And as a result of that, he is God, by the way. So you have God dwelling in you. So you have now the opportunity to know all things, I guess you could say. You get to have all discernment because of what God has done. And it's a protection for us in these last days. God says, I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to take care of my church. You're going to have the truth. The truth's going to set you free. And you're going to know, be able to know deception because you're going to see the Spirit of God lives in you. He's going to show you when something is off. Have you ever noticed as a Christian? And we call it discernment. You know, oh, that's a red flag there. So I don't know what it is, but something's about that's not right. And you can't even maybe necessarily describe it or understand how you figured it out. That's the Holy Spirit showing you that there's something wrong here. So he's, the first protection that we have is the Spirit of truth. Now this anointing of the Holy Spirit takes place, takes residence in a person's life when they confess Christ, when they come to Christ. Now, we go on verse 21, and we'll look at the second protection that he's given us. We got number one is the Spirit of truth. And then he says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it. Now, I want you to see, I want to zero in the first four words, I have not written. And I'm talking about something that is written, that we have as a protection. I'm talking about, first we had the Spirit of truth, now we have the Word of truth, the Bible, the things that are written. John now is going to talk about, I have not written. You see, John's letter that he wrote was not just written by him. He did write it. This is the miracle about the Bible, by the way. It was penned by the Apostle John, this part, but it inspired of God. This book right here is different than any other book. Amen. Any other book. It's the book of all books. It's a book above every book. There's never been one like it, and there never will be one like it. It's amazing. It's an amazing book. And people say, oh, yeah, well, you know, that's been written by men. The Bible's written by men. How can you trust that? Hey, let me tell you something. Let's take the story a little farther because they're right in a sense. It's an amazing book. It's been penned by 66 different people. 66. And it's in one book. And it makes sense? Come on. That's a miracle, isn't it? If you could get 66 different people. I'm sorry, there's 66 books of the Bible, 40 authors. 40 different people. But can you imagine getting 40 people together? And they lived at different times, so they couldn't get together and talk about it. And they wrote their portion of it, and it made sense? Come on. You can't even play a game of telephone. You know what that is, right? Where you start on one end, you pass it to the next person, and it gets to the end, and we laugh because you know the story. It's totally changed what the first person said. And we get a laugh out of it. But here we have 40 different authors who lived on different continents even through a lot of period of time that didn't confer with one another. Most of them didn't. And the thing makes sense. Come on. What does that mean? It means it's divine. The Bible is divine. It's divinely inspired. The Bible says this in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproach, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God or the woman of God may be equipped, thoroughly equipped and complete for every good work. It's all that you need for life and godliness is in the Word. It's all there. It's a book like no other book. It's a spiritual book, and we see it through spiritual eyes, and God reveals himself through this book, unlike any other book. But the Bible, it's how we know that things that are going on around us that most of our society say, well, that's okay. We voted on it after all. We're making laws now saying that that's okay. Well, it didn't used to be. No, it didn't used to because we were living in archaic times back then. Today it's okay. Well, wait a second. It may sound good, but the Bible says it's not okay. Amen. Who's right? Modern thinkers or the Bible? We have to choose something, right, for truth. Can we agree on that? We have to have where you come up with your truth from. Because everybody's got an opinion about what they think truth is, right? Your philosophy on life and everything else, you know. Where do you get your truth from? And that's important. You get it from somewhere, from the TV, from the internet, or from wherever. We get our truth from the Bible. Amen. That's where it comes from. It's reliable. And so he's given us that as a protection from deception. Constant diet of the word. He says, I have written to you, verse 21, because you know it, you know truth, not because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and that no lie is of the truth. You get that? No lie is of the truth. It's either truth or it's not. You can't have partial truth. You understand that, right? Because that's a lie. That's what deception is. It's always a partial truth. And then he gets downright personal here in verse 22. He says, who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? Jesus is the anointed one. He is the one that God sent. And he calls it what he calls it. He says, who is a liar but he who denies Christ? That's a place you don't want to go, by the way, denying Jesus Christ. He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son. In other words, he's opposed to Christ. And then he says, whoever denies the Son, verse 23, does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. So he's saying the Father and the Son are interconnected here. You can't have one without the other, right? You can't say, oh, no, well, we believe in the Father. We believe in this God up there that made everything. We believe in him. We don't believe in Jesus. Well, we maybe believe he existed, but he's just a this or a that. No, you must believe exactly what the Bible says about the Father and the Son, that relationship, and that you can't have one without the other. That's what's being made clear. So the people that are in that camp, they realize, no, you've been deceived. You're believing a lie. You can't have the Father without the Son. And then verse 24 says, therefore, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. Now, he's introducing this word, and it's part of our protection, this word abide. He's introducing this word now. And this word abide is a word, it means to dwell with, to be with. And it fits in with the idea of what John talked about in the first chapter about fellowship. This idea to dwell with, to abide with. And that means to be part of. It's part of you. You are part of it. That idea. And he's speaking of the Spirit of God in your life, the Word of God in your life. It's not just a book that's on a shelf that you read once in a while. It must become part of you. It becomes part of you and who you are. And he's telling you now the privilege that you have as a Christian to abide in the Father and the Son and abiding in the Word. And he says, out of that, look at verse 25. There's a promise now. We go from the problem to the protection. There's a promise here in verse 26. These things I have written to you concerning those who try... I'm sorry, verse 25, back up. And this is the promise that he has promised us. I want you to know something about the Word of God. It's full of promises. This is the promise that he's promised us. Eternal life. You ever heard that before? That idea. Now think about that idea for a moment. Eternal life. Now there are a lot of people that don't acknowledge that exists, okay? A life beyond this life, all right? But there are a lot of people that do acknowledge that that exists. Beyond Christianity even, right? An afterlife. The problem is, they don't believe the truth about the afterlife. For example, one of the biggest questions about that, where do you go? You know, a lot of people will acknowledge a good place and a bad place even. But how you get there is very important, wouldn't you think? If there is an afterlife, how does one end up in the afterlife that's a good life? Well, the Bible talks all about that. But he says this about eternal life. It's a promise that he's promised us eternal life. And I want to just tell you about this eternal life. It is a quality of life, a quality of life. The Bible talks about a time to come when there'll be no more tears, no more suffering, no more sin. That's the reason there's tears and suffering, because there's sin in the world. There'll be a fullness of joy that will never end. Pleasures at his right hand forevermore. We won't need for anything. We'll have everything that we need. We'll be right there. It'll be blissful. There won't be any more fighting or anything like that. And we'll be experiencing with other people. The Bible talks about this time that is to come. So it's a quality of life. And by the definition, it is a quantity of life. Have you realized this? If you're old enough, you realize this life is short. Now, Eve, you're over 90. I know a couple of you are over 90, and I've asked them. I always make it my business to ask people that have lived to be a certain age, did it go by fast? I always ask them that, you know, and they've always said, yeah, it did. I don't, you know, and I can guarantee you without even asking them the question that they don't feel what 90 years old on the inside, they don't feel that way. The body may feel older at 90 or whatever, but the point is, you know, I feel like I'm a 19-year-old still on the inside. I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, who is that person? You're laughing because some of you are having the same experience, right? Some people say, I look and I see my father. No, I see my grandfather when I look in the mirror. But life is short in this body, but eternal life is one that doesn't end. It's a quantity of life. Boom, it just never ends. But I want to read you the definition of eternal life found in John 17:3. John defines it in his gospel, John 17:3. He says this, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, speaking of the Father, the only true God. And that means know experientially, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. And John 17:3, it speaks to, I guess, a quality of life in that what makes heaven so great? You ever wonder about what is it about heaven? Well, God says he's making a mansion. Maybe I'll have a mansion like Rumson or something. Right? Bigger mansion than whoever you could pick. You know, Bruce Springsteen. You know, he's got, I'll have a nice mansion. It'll be this. No, that's short-sighted. It really is. What makes heaven so great is God's there. And we get to fellowship with him in a way. Pick your most intimate relationship you have here with a human being on earth. The husband and wife would be the closest one you could experience, the one flesh. It'd be closer than that. Because we're like that, because we are the bride of Christ, the Bible says, right? Think about that. The church is the bride of Christ. So when that fulfillment happens, the marriage supper of the Lamb that's taking place in heaven, there's going to be this union that takes place that happens there, that we'll know him as we are known, the Bible says. It's like, wow, the perfect marriage. You don't have it, by the way. The perfect marriage is that marriage, the marriage supper of the Lamb, when Christ is united with his bride that way. That's what makes heaven so great, is because we get to know him personally. Now, John is all excited because he realizes that you don't have to wait till you die to have eternal life. Once you come to Christ, eternal life has already started. You can experience that now. And there's so many. He's writing this to encourage Christians.
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This verse from the book of 1 John is a wonderful blessing extended to anyone who is willing to confess. And this is one of many blessings we will discover as Pastor Bill teaches verse by verse through the book of 1 John. You've been listening to Anchored in the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Bill Beckelman of Calvary Chapel Coastlands in Eatontown, New Jersey. If today's teaching has ministered to you and you'd like to tell a friend about this message, or you'd like to listen to it again, it's archived at our website. That address is anchoredintheword.com. Perhaps today's message was exactly what you're looking for in a church. If you don't have a home church and you sense God is calling you to walk in obedience to him, by being a part of the body of believers, please join us for worship Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. Pastor Bill also shares in-depth Bible studies every Thursday night at 7:30 p.m. For more information, including driving directions, visit anchoredintheword.com and then follow the link to the Calvary Chapel Coastlands Church website. We hope to see you soon. Thanks for listening today. Now, please place a marker in your Bibles and make plans to join us again as Pastor Bill will continue teaching through the book of 1 John. It is our heart's desire that you would be moored in sound doctrine and anchored in the Word.